The Lord remembers his covenant forever. But how long is forever? Do you know how long forever is? The psalm also says he remembers his covenant forever, his promise for 1,000 generations. If we want to try and expand our minds and think about the longevity of God's promises, 1,000 generations, to do some very rough maths, if a generation is about 40 years, which is what the Bible often presumes, that would be 40,000 years. If we were descended from Abraham, that would maybe be 100 generations. Judging by that maths, or a couple of hundred generations, maybe. 1,000 generations is a very, very, very long time. And we see, as God is making this covenant with Abraham, that the kind of things that he's promising are kind of beyond imagination, beyond what Abraham could expect or think. Abraham is just kind of head of a small little family, a small kind of little village worth of people. And he's saying that I'm going to make your sons kings. I'm going to turn your little family into a nation and a kingdom, which is mind-blowing. He says that he's going to be blessed from generations to generations. He says as well that the land that I'm giving you in this covenant, that you're going to hold on to forever. They think that the only way that they possessed the land was by good politics and relations with their neighbours, or by defending their land against those who wanted to take it from them. But to think that we could actually just hold on to it forever, that's insane. God's promises always go beyond what we can imagine or what we might expect. Was certainly the case for Abraham, but the same is true for us. And if we're going to have faith in the promises that God gives us, if we're going to hope in those promises, really, we actually need to let loose our imaginations a little bit, or kind of open up our hearts to hope in what's kind of beyond what we even could imagine. Because if we put limits on that, and we're putting limits on what God can lead us into, and on what our relationship with God looks like as well, and it stifles things. We hear the Jews that Jesus is talking to in the gospel. Now, they know God in some way. They have some sort of relationship with God. They claim him as their God, which Jesus acknowledges. But the thing that they get stuck upon is that Abraham and the prophets and all of the patriarchs are all dead. And he's saying, how can God be blessing even those who are dead, or anybody who follows God is still alive when these people are all dead? These are the fathers of our faith. They obviously walked with the Lord, but they're not looking beyond the earthly death that they held. What Jesus is promising us is eternal life, which is not only beyond what we can imagine in terms of length of time and richness of blessing, but it's life in a whole different scale. It's life that even goes beyond the grave, such that the blessings of Abraham wasn't just that his children were going to be well off and that the land was going to be secure in their hands for a while, but still somehow, even beyond, unimaginably beyond their death, God is still blessing and holding in loving relationship with him, Abraham, and all the prophets. But the Jews can't see that because they're stuck at what they can understand and what they can imagine of God's promises. The other thing that this does for us when we open up our hearts and our minds to let God show us unimaginable things that he wants to promise is that we can trust him to actually bring it about. Because if we're stuck within what we can imagine, what we can kind of fathom and grasp, it's as if we're just bringing it about ourselves. But God wants to do this work in us. And it's something that we can never bring about ourselves. If we're just trying to work in our own efforts, then we might kind of achieve X, but we're not going to achieve 1,000 generations worth of blessing, are we? No. The kind of blessing God wants to bring us, the kind of promises that he gives, are nothing that we could ever achieve of our own strength, of our own resources. And hence as well, when God is making this covenant with Abraham, he bestows on him a new identity, which shows something of that receptivity that we need to have. We need to allow God to teach us, to shape us, to lead us and guide us in ways that we don't understand, in ways that are new, and in ways that go beyond us. So I'd hope that our Lenten journey is inviting us into this kind of openness, this kind of receptivity to God's promises, to his new graces, to the new identity and blessing that he wants to impart to us. Because it would be a tragedy if we come to Holy Week and Easter next week just getting what we can get out of it, just getting what we can understand, what we can kind of analyze and interpret from it all. But what God truly wants for us is that we would open up our heart to his promises, to his blessings, so that we can allow him to do the unthinkable, to bring graces that go beyond what we can imagine, that he can bring us into eternal life through following him in his death into his resurrection.